I know I usually start out with a question, but today I'm going to start out with a blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Savior, or from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, more often than not, it can seem like motherhood is a thankless, never-ending chore. I think that can be a true statement, even though I'm not a mom. I think this statement can be equally as true as someone who has a mom. Sometimes being children in dysfunctional relationships can also seem like a thankless, never-ending task. Some of you have a hard time today because you're not a mom and you desperately want to be. Or because you've been a mom and are estranged or outlived your kids. Or because you're the child who is either has a bad relationship with your mom, or you're estranged from your mom. Or maybe it's some mix of all of this. And if any of that is you today, whether you celebrate and you're looking forward to just some of the joys that await you later today, some of the good parts of today, like I heard from somebody earlier today, they had the luxury of coffee in bed, and what a luxury, a joy that was. And so if that's, you know, today is great for you or today is hard for you, and you actively avoid Mother's Day, or you're anywhere on that spectrum between, I want you to know you are in the right place today. You're in the right place today. And so I want you also to know that we're not going to focus on Mother's Day today. And I want to do that by focusing on Eve, the Eve, as in Adam and Eve, which may seem very ironic given who she is, and not focusing on Mother's Day today. There is a woman by the name of Stacy. Her last name is pronounced Chavidian. She is a human, the wife of a pastor. She's also a mother. She's also an author, and she writes this. I think about being in Eve's skin. She was the first mother to figure out how to feed and care for babies without the benefit of wisdom from previous generations, books to read, apps to use, and parents to help. She had none of that. She started with their two sons, Cain and Abel. She had to navigate the rough terrain of raising two sinful boys, watching them grow, breaking up fights, teaching them how to love and forgive one another, all without the aid of any written scripture or podcasts or parenting books and other conferences. Sadly, she was also the first mother to experience the death of a child and the mother of the first murderer. She loses both of her sons in different ways. As a result, she faced a grief that I'm sure terrorized her for the rest of her life. This was all her fault. And not in the like, I'm going to try to displace blame from anyone else and try to assume all of it is mine to try to control the situation. In this, and that she shared it with her husband, Adam, it actually was both of them, literally all her fault, all their fault. It was her sin that ushered murder in and jealousy and death into the world. And what sustained Eve, this is what Stacy continues to write, if we can go on the next slide. What sustained Eve is the same thing that sustains me, the promise of God. With Eve in Jesus, we see this promise is fulfilled, right? In our reading today, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, Jesus said. Jesus loves the Eves and Adams, the Cains and Abels, the unmentioned wives and mothers and sons and daughters of Scripture and of this world. As I have loved you, Jesus says. Which means the promise God spoke to Eve and to Adam, that first sin. Yeah, there was a curse, but there's also a promise that was going to undo all of those curses. And in Jesus, we see that God has fulfilled that promise, right? Jesus says it past tense, as I have loved you. And this is the first of our 3 points today from John 15. There's 3 points I want you to think about today. What Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what we get to do because of it. So what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing and what we get to do because of it. So as we think about what Jesus has done, right? Let's check out verse 12 and read this along with me if you like. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love. Jesus loving sinners. From the first two sinners in the world all the way through to the collection of 12 sinners that he chose, right? Jesus says to them, I chose you. I called you. And this is the same Jesus who in two, three short chapters later, all of these 12 disciples, one is going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Pretty cheap price for, you know, the Son of God. And then he's abandoned by the other 11 and denied by the one who said he never would do that. This is all just about to go down. But Jesus loves them beyond their betrayal, beyond their abandonment, beyond their denying him. He knows exactly what's going to happen to the point where Peter says, even if all fall away, Jesus, I will never abandon you. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, it's so much worse than you think. You are not going to deny me once, but three times. And later we see, and Luke specifically, Luke says that after the third denial, Jesus looks at Peter. Now, Jesus is in the courtroom. Peter is outside in the courtyard. We don't know if there's windows or if it's like a spiritual connection, but Jesus looks at Peter, and Peter realizes what he's done, and he goes out and weeps bitterly. This same Jesus, this doesn't undo Jesus' choice of Peter or the other disciples. And so that means when Jesus, with love and understanding and awareness that goes beyond anything the disciples are experiencing, that how that translates to you is in the ways you and I sin, the way you sin, the way you think, oh, there's no way Jesus could actually understand who I am or where I'm at, because if he did, there's no way he would ever stay with me. I am here to tell you, because of Jesus, he does know. His love goes deeper than your sin, because Jesus knows exactly the kind of sinners he called, he chose, and he's also, guess what, he's also chosen you. How do you know that God has chosen you? Well, you passed it on your way in, right? That kind of tall box with the circle in it that has water in it. It's what we call a baptism font, right? And it's in there. God combines his water with his word, and he chooses you. He calls you his own in baptism. And that is one day you can always turn your heart and mind back to. Anytime you doubt, you can always know, this is where God chose me. You can tell your heart these things. You can preach to your own heart, just like I'm preaching to you now, that God chose you with all the love and understanding and awareness that goes even beyond what we know or what we experience. It's this kind of love, right? This love and awareness and understanding with no indication of stopping, right? Jesus says, love one another, right? As I have loved you. Like, he didn't stop. He wasn't going to stop. But Jesus is saying, I have already done this. And because Jesus is also eternal, right? He was born human, 100% man, but he's also always existed, which means he's eternal, which means God has always loved you from before time began. He will always love you way after time ends. Jesus has love and understanding and awareness for you with no indication of ever stopping. It's this promise that sustained Eve, that comforted and encouraged Eve. It's this promise that Jesus kept and fulfilled. Right? This first covenant, perhaps, as you consider it, he made with Adam and Eve. It's reflected in the covenant he made with Abraham later. It's reflected in the covenant he made with Moses and the Israelites after that. And it's all this covenant that God has kept, Jesus fulfilled. So all those covenants and all those commandments are done. Fulfilled. They're done. Jesus did it. And it's that power that fulfills those commandments and that covenant. It's that power that overwhelms our guilt, our fear, our despair, our sense of time and its brokenness, our sense of history and our past that seems to condemn us. It's the power of Jesus that finishes all the other commandments through that power. It's that same power that gives life and confidence, courage and faith, freedom. Is what Jesus gives. It's that power that prevails in this new command, right? So since all those covenants and all those commands are done, Jesus starts a new covenant in his own body, in his flesh and blood. And his command in this covenant, his command in this flesh and blood is to do what? Love one another. Now, it sounds like the first one, right? It sounds like, because that was how the first covenant commandment were fulfilled, right? Love God and love others, right? Love one another as I have loved you is a little bit different. That sounds the same, but it's even more than that, right? Because it means that Jesus, right, has loved you. It's done. You're good. And so it's no longer about you keeping commandments for the sake of obedience and keeping tight with God. You're in. Jesus has loved you. And now, because he loves you, because you have that love dwelling within you, love one another. Love one another. That's the command now. It's love one another as I have loved you. It's like how my wife Lisa planned my 40th birthday surprise party, right? Now, I am 44, for those of you who may not know or think that I look that old, but I am. And so it was 4 years ago that my wife planned this party. I lacked understanding and awareness of what she was doing. I was completely surprised until I saw this big group of people saying surprise to me, right? She got me good. And sometimes that's what love does. Love plans and prepares for something beyond your understanding and awareness. And it's worth waiting for that surprise that's to come. Right? So loving one another as the way Jesus loves us sometimes means waiting for and doing things that we don't understand and that we lack the awareness of, but yet we continue to love because we know a bit of God's love for us in Jesus. And that's what Jesus has done here. Right? That's what fuels his next command. So we get two commands today, right? Love one another as I have loved you. And then the very next verse, what Jesus is doing. Right, read this with me. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. Right? It's very similar, related to the first one. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Right? This is what Jesus is doing in this moment, submitting himself. Though he is God of the universe, and later we see him say this to his disciples at the garden, as he's betrayed, as a mob is there to arrest him and to take him prisoner, and he says, don't you think I could call down a legion of angels right now? God has all the power. He has all the stuff to do whatever he needs to do. But in that moment, what we needed more than Jesus' defense was his submission. We needed, beyond what anybody understood in that moment, we needed Jesus, and Jesus knew he needed to submit himself to sinful, broken humans who lacked the proper sense of justice in that moment. And so he submitted himself. Instead of calling down legions of angels and flexing his power, he took all of his power and put himself under broken, sinful human authority that completely mistreated him and miscarried justice. But out of that great evil, God brought the salvation of even those people and you and me. That's what Jesus is doing. That's what greater love that occupies Jesus and that as we follow Jesus begins to occupy you and me. Right? It's a living sacrifice that we read about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Paul says, be living sacrifices. And what is a living sacrifice? It's what you give up or die to, right, while you're still living. Maybe some of you, you know donuts are great, but sometimes I have to be dead to donuts, right? Or maybe it's Maybe it's something else, like maybe for a season or longer, it's I have to die to alcohol. Or maybe it's something, maybe I have to die to screen time. Whatever it is, there are things that we need to say that we've been saying yes to a lot more than we should. And now we need to say, God is calling you to say yes to something else. Right? And to do this while you are still alive. When I was growing up, a lot of times the thought was in my head, you know, I'm willing to die for Jesus. And we heard this in different places too, even confirmation, which happened last week. There's a family here called the Bolash family. Aiden Bolash went through confirmation last week. And one of the questions you're asked is, are you willing to give up everything, to face anything, even death, rather than give up the gospel of Jesus? And the confirmands say yes with the help of God, right? Because that's the only way this happens. That's the only way we get to be living sacrifices. That's the only way we get to follow Jesus in what he's doing, right? We're saints because Jesus has died and made us holy, but we're saints who still sin and who still struggle with sin. And so we can say yes to things now, but we're only going to be able to live that out with the help of God. That is the only way we get to follow forward in faith. And so as saints who still sin, we can only make that commitment or any commitment because of the way Jesus loves us. And as Jesus' love continues to inspire us and change us, we get to see ways we get to lay our life down for the people around us. Sometimes it's easy to do with the people who are living closest to you. Your closest neighbors are the people you share a house with. And maybe you're somebody that you share a house with a cat or another animal or a plant. And your closest neighbors then are people on the other side of the wall for you or the other side of the fence or the yard from you. And sometimes it's easier to love people that are outside your home than it is to love those who are in. And God calls us to love each of those people, outside our home and inside our home, with his love, the love that always sees you, that always hears you, that always loves you. So as saints who still sin, it's not about our ability to get it right, right? It's not our track record, but it's about how Jesus daily loves us and how that love sets you free and gives you a chance to tell that to somebody else who needs it, right? So what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and now what we get to do because of it. We get to do because Jesus loves us the way he does. Verses 26 and 27. If you'd like, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus and his Father send the Spirit to the disciples. Right? The Spirit reminds and reinforces everything the disciples have grown and experienced with Jesus. Now, at the time, they weren't able to connect all the dots. At the time, they didn't fully understand who Jesus was and what he was about. They knew he was the Messiah, but they truly didn't fully understand everything that that meant. It's only after the resurrection and the Spirit comes to them that the Spirit unlocks something in their mind and their heart. And it begins to all click now. It's that same Spirit that comes to you through baptism and through God's Word, which is one of the reasons we read God's Word and we read it in sermons and we reflect on it in sermons, because it's that power of the Holy Spirit working through God's Word that changes you and me, that strengthens our faith, that gives us the love we need to follow Jesus. So God's sending of Jesus and now sending of the Holy Spirit helps us see that in this new covenant, with these new commandments, right? Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay his life down for his friends. It's the power that completed the promise that's the same Eve. It's that powers us in living these new commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. lay down your life for your friends. To these friends, we get to share stories, old and new, that point to Jesus. And one story I get to talk about is how God sent me here, sent our family here. And now that we've been here for a bit and God has begun a new community with Emmaus, some of you you frequent this community. Some of you are a part of this community. Whatever your relationship to Emmaus is right now, it's something through which God is working. We have a God who is a sent and sending God. Jesus was sent for you. And now he sends you to reach others. And so now that we're here, he empowers us and works through us to send others, both the ones we have sent on from here to other states, like the Comerkas and the Gracies. Some, maybe you know them, maybe you don't. But also like ones like you, who are gathered here today, sent right back to the places where you live, work, learn, and play. And to the people in each of those places with whom you get to share these stories of Jesus. If you'll permit me, one more story that's not about Mother's Day. It's from another pastor who is also a pastor's wife. So she's from another tribe, right? Another tribe within Christianity. She's also a mother herself and an author. Her name's Sarah Condon. She writes this: "To be clear, I love the idea of being celebrated. I love any day that my children make me a card and fix me Cheerios with water for breakfast. I'm here for that," she writes. "But I do not need any of my church airtime to be taken away from our risen Lord, because I show up at church Sunday after Sunday to hear the gospel. I am a mother," she writes, "who is full of mistakes and sin and regret, and my kids aren't even in middle school yet. I'm the daughter of a woman who got some things really right and some things really wrong, because she was no more of a superwoman than I am. And the last thing I want to do is show up at church and have all of that handed back to me in the almighty name of Mother's Day. I show up at church to give my sin and sorrow to Jesus. Please do not make church about me. I'm no good at saving people." Friends, I hope you see and hear and love Jesus today. He loves you in ways that go beyond your understanding and awareness. I pray that the same Spirit God sent as a witness of Jesus to all of humanity fills you and fills you with opportunities to share in that witness of the one who is perfect at saving people, the one who is perfect at loving and saving you and me. May the love of Jesus fill your heart and open your lips filled with stories of him. In his name, amen. Please pray with me. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. It goes beyond understanding. It goes beyond our awareness. But Lord, you don't leave us misunderstood and unaware. Lord, you take us with you. You bring us alongside you as you love and care for us and love and care for your world. Lord, help us to be about what you are about, sharing stories with neighbors that change lives forever, just as you change us. Lord, thank you for your love that is made new every day, especially a day like today. We pray this in your name. Amen.